Intuition, by definition, is a thought before your brain overcomplicates it. I believe intuition is the roadmap to your personal happiness and success. Allow this awesome conversation to inspire you to just be more of you. I'm your host, Jimmy Ward Mize, and welcome to Inspired by Jimmy L.
All right, good day, you guys. This is another wonderful episode of Inspired by Jimmy L, having another conversation with another local here in Memphis. Obviously, there's been a theme. There's going to be a theme going on here in Memphis. I'm wanting to get some more local talent here. But with that being said, brings us to today's guest, Mr. Howard. I have no idea how to pronounce your last name.
Oh, man, I'm going to put on billboards and buildings one day. You better get it right.
Pronounce it for me.
It's Von Kasu.
I would never get that in a million years. So I am not even going to just call you Howard V.
That's fine. That's fine. Probably the only Asian guy you know named
actually,
Howard.
Okay. Yeah. Probably only. Well, no, I do not know that. His name is William, though. Okay. So, okay. Only Asian guy I know named Howard.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually put that in the bio.
Yeah.
But Howard is actually a local realtor here. And I don't know how he classifies it. We're going to end the show by asking him. But dude is on fire. You have been the house. First off, well, I won't even mention that. But the houses that you've been putting on Facebook, Instagram, that you are selling. How in the hell? How did you get into that? I know when I was a realtor a long time ago, like I was stuck with the small $10,000-$15,000 houses and foreclosure situations. Like, yeah. I mean, you're literally over the threshold of $500,000-$600,000 houses. How in the hell are you selling those?
Somewhat. I started doing a lot of open houses. And I partnered up with a team that had a nice amount of inventory.
Okay.
So I didn't have listings on my own. So I did the open houses for a team. And that exposed me to a lot of buyers in different price range from 120 to about 400,000. And then it grew from there. It was six.
How long ago was that?
It was actually in 2015.
Okay.
In 2015, I was with another brokerage firm, and then I switched to another brokerage firm. And basically, I just wanted to win. I wanted to win. So I was with this one company at first, not going to mention the name or whatever. But I did three deals on my own, for the first year. So I took a look.
Which is very difficult, by the way, because I know I was in it for several years and I only, well, probably one in maybe 4 years, which is sad.
Mm-hmm.
Just sad.
But I did three deals on my own, and I took a look back and said, how do I get on the next level? So I kind of looked around and see what everybody was doing. There was another Asian team that I saw that was doing very well. Saw them all over the internet and this and that. So I had two options, kind of like LeBron James when he was with the Cavaliers in the beginning. He went down to Miami to win. His goal was to win. So you had to switch up, you know, your ingredients and what you do, you know. So my goal was to win. I want to be on a team that win.
So has real estate, have you always wanted to do real estate?
Oh, yeah. I always wanted to do real estate from day one. I was working at this restaurant, and this guy gave me a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it took me about 6 months to even pick up that book, to even read it. So once I read it, man, I kept reading all the series and stuff like that. So I think I was around maybe 17, going on 18, just finished high school.
That was young to be reading that book.
Yeah. And I was working at the restaurant waiting tables. And he was like, hey, you know, the guy, he was like, hey, read this book. I saw him reading it. But, man, I wasn't really serious, you know. And then one day, I just picked up the book and started reading it. You know, I got bored. At the time, it was no internet. You know, it was a flip phone.
No.
I'm not that old.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just picked up the book and started reading. And I was like, man. And so long story short, in that book, it was stocks or real estate. So I picked real estate. Yeah.
Damn, 16, 17 years. Like, I wish someone would have given me that damn book at 16 or 17. Uh-huh. Like, I had the mindset, and I know that I would have utilized every bit of those principles. But I didn't even know he existed until I was probably 28, 29.
Yeah.
Which is really sad. It didn't put me behind the curve, but in a way it did. But wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, okay.
So let's go back on companies. So I was, I wanted to win.
Yeah.
So what I did was, you had two options. You had to pay for a coach, mm-hmm. Who will coach you to be a realtor and this and that. That usually range from all different price range, usually from $1,000 to $3,000 a month. Man, I wasn't producing
that.
I wasn't. For a coach. So anything in life, you're going to need a coach. You're going to need a coach for athletes, need coach, and you're going to need a personal trainer if you don't know how to work out.
Well, you know, they got a fancy name for them now. They call mentors.
Mentors, yeah. So pay for a coach or join a team. Anytime we join a team with a real estate or a real estate company or team, you have to split. You know, you have to split. So I was willing to split my commission in order to learn. So I joined a team, and then the team gave me a regiment on what to do. So
like a step-by-step.
Step-by-step, step-by-step. Basically, it was like a workout. So Monday, you do this. Tuesday, you do this. Wednesday, you do this. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you do this. Sunday, you do this.
Okay.
So I just followed that regimen. And I did a lot of open houses. I didn't really have no listings or inventory. So I did a lot of open houses for about 6 months. 6 months to a year.
So were you, while doing the open house, were you getting paid for any of that?
Oh, no, man. Real estate is pretty much commission-based. So open houses usually last about 2 hours. So, you know, doing 2 hours on a Saturday and Sunday, I met a lot of people.
Yeah.
Some of those people who come into open houses don't want to talk to you. That's okay.
So you made even more connections, I'm assuming, through the open houses.
Mm-hmm.
Just and was that in the frame or in the mindset of other people to help train you get a little bit further, or were those actual potential clients doing those open houses?
Well, the open houses, some of those people who came in, I didn't get a chance to, it was hard to convert them. At the time, I didn't know like what how to do it or convert it over. Or get those clients, get those people to, you know, use me as a realtor.
Gotcha.
But what I started doing was like, man, I got to do something different. You know, I didn't really have no success in the open house. So I was like, man. So I started taking the houses that my team had and the houses that I was going to do the open houses for. I sent it to people that I knew, people that was in my phone book. So one day, I used to live downtown. I used to live downtown, and my girlfriend works at this nice little rooftop place.
Okay.
So I was walking down to go meet up with her. She's a bartender. And then I saw this guy and that I knew from high school. He plays basketball.
Okay.
He plays basketball a little bit in the NBA, and he did very well overseas.
Okay.
And he was with a Grizzly player. And I started chit-chatting with them. I was like, hey, man, what you guys doing, blah, blah, blah. I see that you came back, you know, good to have you back in town, blah, blah, blah. How's everything going? You know, they kept their conversation short, but I kind of feel like they were trying to brush me off or whatever. And I said, hey, man, what you guys doing tonight, you know? And he was like, we don't know, you know, da-da-da-da, whatever. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go up to the rooftop real quick and just have a couple of drinks. And then they were like, oh, it's open. I said, yeah, it's open. I said, yeah, it's open. You want to come? I said, yeah. They were like, yeah. So the guy who plays basketball overseas, I went to high school with him. I used to work at Bluefin. And I saw
–
I used to work at Bluefin, and I saw the guy and his wife all the time, you know. So it was a familiar face.
Gotcha.
It was a familiar face, and I said, hey, man, let's go hang out upstairs, whatever, the rooftop. You know, we kind of hung out and drank or whatever when we got to the rooftop. And then I said, hey, and then I started talking about real estate, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It was just, you know, just go ahead and swing it, you know.
I know I want to definitely ask you this because you've always been an extremely friendly person. It seems like that you're able to adapt to different situations mm-hmm. and kind of build relationships pretty much everywhere. Has it always been that way for you?
No, for me, man, I'm a very shy person. I'm an introverted person. But I know in order to be successful or...
Since when were you
introverted? Man, I don't know, since... Forever. I still get butterflies when I talk to new people, you know.
But you just do it anyway.
I just do it anyway because I know that if you don't connect, you know, you just...
But what? Okay. I'm completely out there in your face. You love me or you hate me type person.
Yeah.
My husband is quite literally that introvert. He does not take well with big crowds. He doesn't take well with even certain family members. And... to hear you say that now, like, I know it's not easy for an introvert, not a true introvert, to just go out and actually have a conversation mm-hmm. with a stranger. So what's behind you, or what's in your mind, or what type of daily rituals do you have that's pushing you to continue to do that?
You have to get over it. Okay. You know, if you want to make money or you want to level up, you got to get over it. So
how did you get over that?
Jobs that I did, whatever gig or job that I did or any career that I stepped into, it always involved in front of people. You know, I waited tables for the longest, you know, and that requires you to be in front of the people, you know, customer service and build a rapport, you know, repeated customers and stuff like that. So I knew that I had to stay in front of people to get comfortable. I got to the point where I was able to handle big parties, you know, waiting tables at a restaurant, you know, big parties, like 10 people at a time, 20 people at a time, 30 people at a time.
Which can be stressful.
But at the same time, people, you know, and then I also did life insurance for a little bit.
I remember you.
Did life insurance for about 5 years. Didn't really see myself doing it for another 5 years. You know, but it kind of exposed me to a different demographic, older, elders, yes. Seniors.
Yeah.
So learned how to adapt to that and, you know, met a lot of awesome people, you know.
Okay. So do you have any mentors now that are still in your life that are helping?
I kind of pick up mentors along the way. No, just kind of have to learn it on my own. And it was self-taught. Trial and error, you know. Back to the rooftop.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Back to the rooftop. So back to the rooftop thing. My friend that went to high school with, play overseas or whatever. I was just chit chatting with him, and I gave him my number. I said, "Hey, man, I do a lot of open houses, dude. Would you be interested in maybe stopping by? Can I send you some houses, whatever?" He said, "Yeah, no problem," you know. And he gave me his number. I was thinking that maybe it was a fake number or whatever, blah, 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 you know. So, you know, at the time, I didn't know how much he make or whatever. I didn't really care, you know. So,
But you had your real estate license at that time, mm-hmm. and you had obviously been known for open houses. Uh-huh. So you were fluent enough to say what was going on.
Yeah.
Or what
uh-huh.
you. Okay.
So I was like, "Hey, can I invite you to my open houses, whatever, blah, blah, blah." So, and then I sent him some houses, some open houses that I was doing. And he never responded for maybe about 3 months. I just kept sending it, just texting. I felt like I was talking to myself sometime. And I sent him this house that was in a gated community in Cordova, Crystal Lake area.
Okay.
And then one day he replied. He was like, "Hey, man, is that house in that gated community still available?" I said, "No, it's not available. But we do have this one that's a whole lot nicer." It was in the 400,000 range. I never asked, like what price range or
like
whatever.
Like realty 101.
Well, you know, it's one of those things like you just got to go with it, you know. Yes, it's one of those questions you do have to ask. Yeah. But, you know, some people don't want to tell you.
They don't want to tell you their max point?
Yeah, they don't want to tell you.
Or a range?
Uh-huh.
I did not know that.
I knew he played basketball, but I didn't know how much money that he had. You know, I didn't really ask. I was like, I was building a relationship. I didn't really care.
Yeah.
To be honest, I didn't really care. So, and also, I don't really think about money a whole lot, you know, when I'm dealing with clients. Because if you think about money, you will forget your purpose or what you're doing, you know.
Okay.
So I never really asked
Is that a spiritual thing?
No, it's just like if you focus on the money, you lose your, you know, your focus on what you're trying to do.
Okay.
So
you are the first realtor I've ever heard say that.
Yeah, of course we want to make money.
Like,
yes.
Oh my God.
But you know, so I was like, hey man, let me show you this house over here. And I think it was around fair time, you know, around the fair.
Okay.
The fair was in town. And me and my buddies, me and my realtor friends were having lunch, or no, dinner. Man, it was like about maybe 7:30 at night. Okay. And it was dark.
Yes.
So my friend was, and then my friend hit me up, the basketball player hit me up. He was like, hey, you still available? I said, hell yeah, I'm still available. So I said, hey, I'll meet you at the house, 8 o'clock. I said, hey, I'll meet you at the house, 8 o'clock. And my fellow realtor friends was like, hey, man, why the hell are you going to show the house at, you know, at night? He can't see the damn house. You know, I was like, man, you know, I'm just going to show it, you know, build a rapport and see what happens. You know, I ain't got nothing to lose. I ain't going to do
it. I mean, this is true.
Sitting here looking at you guys ain't going to make me no money.
At all. Not a drop.
So I paid my tab, finished my food, and, you know, went ahead and showed the house and chit-chat for a little bit. Met the client there. And I got the wife's number, and long story, he had to go overseas the next morning.
Ah, which makes more sense as to why he would have wanted to see.
Yeah. The house, if I would have never shown him that house, I would have never had the opportunity to meet his wife or get his wife's contact info because he was going overseas the next day.
Gotcha.
So I got the wife's email and number, and the following week, I sent her some houses, mm-hmm. like one or two, three houses. And then he was like, I said, what price range are you looking for? And he's like, he said 500,000 to a million. And I fell out my seat when he said that.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, one of my goals when I first started real estate was to sell $1 million house. And I was only in my second year or something like that.
Okay.
Going on second year, going on third year. I said, oh, man. Like, my heart rate went up, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my goal, you know, was to sell $1 million house within 5 years.
So here in Memphis, what's the average square footage of a house there for that amount?
The average square foot is going to be about 500 to about 500,000 square foot to about 10,000 square foot.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But it all depends on what area.
Yeah.
So long story short, I followed up, showed his wife some houses. It was like 6 months to a year process because he was flying back in and out. And I showed him this one house. It was actually his dream home. It was in a gated community, and it wasn't developed at the time 3 years ago. He was driving in this gated community when they were developing it. He was like, man, you know, I'm going to put my family here one day.
And just so happened.
And then when I showed him the house, he pulled up to the driveway, and then he was like, oh, man, this is it. Oh, my God. My heart rate went up again. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, like, what's that, Sanford and Son? Oh, my God. So I was like, oh, man, just calm down. Just show him the house, you know, da-da-da-da. Because in real estate, you know, you get upset a lot or you know, you get let down. So I was like, man, just show him the house, you know, da-da-da-da. And long story short, now we made an offer, negotiated, and got it.
So how did it feel to get that check?
To be honest, I was more hungry. I didn't feel satisfied.
Not even a brief moment.
When I got the check, it was a nice check, but
of course it was.
I was more hungry. I was like, damn, this is possible.
Yeah.
You know,
because like, that's after splitting with your broker and everything.
Yeah.
So, like, damn.
So I was more hungry. I was like, okay, if I can make this amount, let me see what else I can do. So I was more hungry, and I actually missed the process. You know, process of showing them the house, the hunt. You know,
you missed that?
Oh yeah, it was a high for me. You know,
what do you mean you missed it? I don't understand.
I missed showing them the houses. I missed negotiating the deal with the other agent. When it was over.
I got you. You're saying after everything was over, you missed going through.
Going through the whole motion with them.
I got you.
But that's where, you know, I gained a lot of experience. You know, when you ask me, hey, you know, how did you go from showing these high-end houses or different price range? it was just basically, I just went for it and took a lot of pictures, a lot of houses, showed a lot of houses. You know, I didn't really think a lot about the price, whatever.
So do you now think about the price?
No.
So, okay. So, because I haven't seen a low-end home yet. Do you do low-end?
Oh, yeah. My lowest house that I ever sold was about $17,500.
That's exactly what I paid for my driveway. Like, exactly to the T.
yeah. So, to me, the relationship is more richer, you know?
If
you
build a small end?
Anything, you know? Any house that I sell, my goal is to build that relationship with them, because you're pretty much – you're tapping into their world, you know. So, you know, a $1 million commission check, you know, a sale off of a 3% of a million, that doesn't really excite me. It does, but the relationship that, you know, that you can get, and I still keep in contact with them, you know, and stop by and stuff like that. And some of my clients, we still, you know, party together, you know. Pool parties and stuff like that.
It is. I mean, I will say that's, I do love that. And it's something I found out about myself a long, long time ago. But I love to talk. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I love building relationships. I love creating them, building them, and maintaining those relationships. Yeah. And because it is what it is. And so because of that, I try to be who I am, try to be natural. I try to be authentic. I try to be as friendly as I possibly mm-hmm. can. And at the end of the day, like, no matter where I saw you out next, I would never be one of those people like, okay, I knew him then, or I never interviewed him once, or, you know, I knew him from years ago. Yeah. You know, like, I could never ever do something like that. Yeah. But I love that.
Yeah.
I want to talk about your mindset for one quick second. And I want to ask you, it's a really strange question that most people actually think it's a little dark, but just bear with me.
Okay.
Do you believe that people have to suffer in order to grow?
Absolutely.
Why so?
If everything was so perfect, you'll never learn. You'll never learn from your mistakes and this and that, you know. Your true character really comes out when your back is up against the wall.
Okay. So what was probably your biggest challenge?
Let me tell you this story. it's actually a good story and I like to share it.
Okay.
My mom lost her dog, I think, this week.
I saw you.
My mom lost her dog.
It
was actually my dog, and I grew up with a Boston Terrier, and then he passed away, and then I bought a Boston Terrier, and then I moved back home, and my mom and dad, you know, fell in love with the dog, and they kept him.
Okay.
I moved out, and they kept him, and then my mom had a stroke last year, around this time, or something like that. Yeah, April, yeah. Around this time, so she doesn't work, you know, having a stroke or having that kind of change is pretty stressful, you know. And so that's her best friend. She let him out to go use the restroom or whatever, and Milo.
Milo.
I think he's about 5 or 6 years old now.
He's not even that old.
Yeah, 5 or 6 years old. She let him out, and I think maybe she forgot, you know. She forgot that she let him out, and he ran off. You know, he got loose and ran off and started venturing around the neighborhood. And, you know, I guess he lost his way home. I was in the middle of lunch. My dad never really calls me in the middle of the day. I was in the middle of lunch with a client, and my dad called me, and I ignored it. And then he called again. I said, oh, shit, man, this is some bad news.
I literally just got one.
I said, oh, man, it's some bad news, whatever. Like, oh, my God, something that happened to my mom, you know, whatever. So I answered, and it was my dog. I said, oh, thank God, it's a dog. So my mom lost a dog. I said, okay. After I get done with my client, I'm going to go and help, whatever, you know. So I cleared out my whole schedule. It was like around noon or something like that. Cleared out my whole schedule to go help her find him. So my mom was very sad, you know, she was crying, you know, she had the garage open, she was just sitting out there, just waiting.
Oh my God.
She can't really walk that fast, you know, she walks with a limp. So just imagine chasing after a hyper dog.
She actually chased him?
No.
Okay.
She went around looking for him, but didn't really go too far, you know, and had some neighbors to help. But so I was knocking on doors and talking to people, whoever I could, man. People were looking at me like, you know, I was, you know, looking at me weird, you know, or looking at me different, you know. So the people's response to me wasn't really that great. Some people were, some people wasn't, you know. But I had, man, to in order to find his damn dog, I'm going to knock on doors, do what I got to do, you know. Because I want to see, you know, she's crying and she's sad and I want to make her smile again. If I could find his dog, maybe she'll smile again. So we couldn't find the dog. You know, I was like, dang. My mom was like, you know, just give up. You know, it's not really worth your time, you know, da, 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 da. I said, and she was like, he's probably, hope he find a better home, whatever. Oh, so basically she wanted to give up. I said, hell no, we ain't giving up. I was like, you know, hell no, we're not giving up, you know. How the hell are you going to give up within 5 hours? What kind of mindset is that, you know? So I was like, okay.
Because you don't want to risk, you don't want to risk being disappointed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're trying to deal with it and you're trying to face the facts that maybe I just won't see the
yeah.
dog again.
Yeah.
So I've been there. I've been there. So I can kind of relate to that. I mean, I gave up maybe 24 hours later.
So, and then my dad called and said, hey, did he come home yet? Da, da, da. Did you find him? I said, no, we couldn't find him. And then my dad was like, don't you ever buy another dog again and bring him home? I was like, what? Why, you know, why is this my fault? You know, blah, blah, blah. So I said, you know, yeah. I said, what?
Is that why? Because she got attached?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that night I was like, man, you know, I put a game plan together. And I used a lot of my real estate skills to, you know, find him. I just, you know, continued to knock on doors and pass out flyers and stuff like that. And I made a poster and then also made the Facebook and a lot of people shared it. A lot of people shared it. A lot, man, people were very helpful, you know. So a lot of people shared it, man, people I didn't even know. You know, shout out to all the Oakland. Man, they were just sharing and sharing and sharing. And when I was driving around, people were like, yeah, I saw your Facebook post. I said, oh my God, you did? Da-da-da. The power of Facebook, you know.
This is true.
I put out a one of those signs in the corner, you know, with his picture on it, phone number, reward. And the next day, someone called. So within 3 days, I was able to find him. I found him Friday morning. Well, you know, someone called me and said, hey, we got your dog. I said, oh, really? Da-da-da. But the whole story is don't give up, you know. There's people around you who will give up. But, you know, at the time, you know, I was like, man, maybe I should give up too. Maybe they're right, you know, because I got a full schedule, you know. I got a lot of stuff to do. And I'm very backed up on work and stuff like that. And I was like, man, if I find his dog, it'd be worth more to my mom.
Because that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. That's your baby. At the end of the day, I mean, I know it's a little crazy because you have to take care of them pretty much for the rest of their lives, but you create bonds with them.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know this.
Yeah.
But, you know, you create bonds with them, and it's like nothing else.
Yeah. So a lot of people, you know, they want to give up, and when their back is pushed against the wall and there's no results or whatever, people give up. But what if we did give up? You know, we would have never found him. But he would have been in that same neighborhood forever, you know.
Somewhere.
You know, he would have been in that neighborhood because the people who found him have dogs too, like two boxers. They would have kept him and kept him safe.
Or just not known where to take him.
Yeah.
Or who was missing him.
Yeah. So what if we never, you know, what if we did quit? You know, we would never found him within that quick. And now my mom and dad looking at me like I'm a hero. And now I can move forward. And now I learned something about myself too, you know. And, I was scared to knock on doors, you know. Knock on doors.
Still?
Yeah. I mean, even though I knock on doors for real estate and, you know, and stuff like that, you still get butterfly. You never know, you know, who, you know, that rejection, you know. People, I had this one lady, She had a storm door and her dog was barking like crazy. I rang the doorbell. The dog was barking and it looked like she just got out of the shower. She had her hair wrapped in the towel, whatever. And she came up to the door and was like, what? I'm like, hey, I'm just trying to help my mom find a dog. Have you seen him? Or, you know, he's a little black and white dog. And, you know, I was like, at first I was aggravated, you know, I was like, what the hell, you know?
Wanted to respond with her.
And she saw the look in my face, and, you know, my face just kind of like, really, lady, you know? But that's the kind of reaction you're going to get, and you have to get over it. Because that smile on my mom's face is worth a whole lot more than that damn rejection, you know?
Yeah.
So if you quit, you never know what the results might be.
I like that.
Oh, let me tell you another story.
I like that, though. Before you move on, I definitely, I want to let me ask you this thing. Even as a child, have you always had that drive to keep going through your fears?
To be honest, I don't think so. Well,
the reason why I want to know, when did it, if you did not, when did it shift?
Well, it shifted when I was 12 or 13. When I was growing up, I was a huge WWF, WWE. Yeah.
Okay, let's cut this interview.
No, you gotta keep going. I gotta finish. I gotta finish telling my story.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So it really started when I was like maybe 12 years old, 13 years old, you know. I was into watching wrestling a whole lot. And I grew up on wrestling. My mom.
Who was your favorite?
The Rock.
Okay.
The Rock.
But see, okay, I was into it before The Rock.
My all-time favorite was The Rock. But growing up, my biggest person I wanted to be like or was the Ultimate Warrior, you know?
Did he have the white and red face?
No, he had a painted face, long hair, and he was crazy.
Was it white?
Hey. Yeah.
Guess what I'm saying. It wasn't white paint?
It was all different colors.
Okay, because I remember that name. Is why I remember his face being painted, but it's crazy
because
I hate
him
now.
Yeah, I don't even watch wrestling now.
I hate it.
So at the age of 12, I was watching a wrestler named Shawn Michaels, and they was telling his story how he always wanted to be a champion. He trained at an early age, and he was wrestling against Bret Hart at WrestleMania, whatever, I can't remember what. But they was giving a story about his childhood story about he always wanted to be a wrestler, this and that, always wanted to be a champion, and he followed through and he became a champion. Okay. And I'm like, damn, okay. So I told my dad, I said, hey, I want to be a wrestler. Oh, and my dad was like,
I could not imagine being a wrestler. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I was like, and he was like, man, you need to put on some weight, put on some muscle. So he was like, and then I saved my money up. I saved my little money up and went to Kmart. At the time, they had Kmart.
Kmart was the bomb. Was that here in Memphis?
Yeah, it was here in Memphis off of, I think, Summer. Summer and White Station. I think maybe it's still there. I don't know.
Not Kmart.
So I went to Kmart and bought a weightlifting set. And bought a weightlifting set and started working out. At the time, they didn't have internet. And I went to the library to check out books on like lifting weights and stuff like that. And at the time, the library was at Peabody.
Okay.
So I went to go check out some books, and then I bought a magazine at the grocery store at Kroger's and kind of followed their workout regimen. And then I started working out and stuff. And then my dad was like, dang, this boy is kind of serious. At age of 12, you know, I was lifting weights and I made some progress, and, you know, my dad would come home or whatever and see me like working out, you know, and then my dad ended up putting me in a gym. At the time it was called French Riviera Spa. I went to Central High School at the time, and my dad signed me up to the French Riviera Spa.
Okay.
So the age of 12, 13, I was already, you know, had a gym membership. And to be honest, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So I just kind of read the magazine, read the books. And then I people who were there started seeing me there every day. And they're like, and they started talking to me.
Yeah.
So I started talking to people, you know, people who are older than me. And then once they found out my age, they were like, for real? You know? So I think I hit a really a growth spurt, like 14 or 15.
So and they kind of like boosted your confidence a little to, I guess, push through?
Well, it kind of helped me talk to people or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was talking to all kind of people, man.
Because I can imagine all types of people would be in the gym. Like,
yeah. And it was in Midtown, you know.
Oh, yes.
It was in Midtown.
Eccentric, all types of that.
Man, I was lifting weights with convicts, jail deputy, sheriff.
I didn't know you were going to go that far.
Sheriff. I didn't know how to work out. So I worked out with people. I said, hey, man, can I work out with you? Can I get a set in with you? You know, I didn't know. We started working out, and people started teaching me how to work out. And I just mimicked what the other people did. Around 4 o'clock, man, everybody was in the gym, man. Police officers was in the gym, and these dudes were big, you know. And I just started mimicking what they did, you know. I was just a skinny kid, and I blew up. Blew up around 14 and 15, and then continued lifting weights. So from lifting weights for me, or bodybuilding, kind of taught me, if you look for it and practice it, if you read it and you practice it and you go out there and partner up with other people, you know, you just pretty much you can do anything.
You really could do anything. I mean, mm-hmm. you have to be consistent.
Yeah.
You know, but your why at that time was strong enough for you, you know, as a 12 or 13 year old.
Uh-huh.
Your why was apparently there. Even now, being a realtor, your why is uh-huh. obviously there. At least that's what I believe, because uh-huh. if not, then it typically fades away and you'll fall off and you'll move on to something else. Uh-huh. You know? And so, but if your why is strong, you stay consistent and it keeps you.
Yeah. I guess that kind of boosted up my inspired me to do more. I really wanted to be a bodybuilder or bodybuilding. I wanted to be a young bodybuilder or something in fitness.
Okay.
But
I can see that.
But me being a wrestler, man, I was like, nah. I fell in love with bodybuilding. That was my first love. I was like, man. And then I was like, man, you can't make a whole lot in bodybuilding, you know?
There's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
There, right?
So I was like, you know, it is my first love. You know, I still work out today. But it's like, hey, you know, how can I get rich? So then I ended up meeting a guy who worked at the restaurant and then gave me a book to read, which is Rich Dad Poor Dad. And I said, okay, stocks or real estate. So I picked real estate.
So, but wait a second, but why not the fitness side of things or training people how to stay fit? That wasn't your thing?
Well, it wasn't, I don't know. I guess the direction, you know, a lot of times when you're young or, you know, you have a goal. At the time, yes, with 12, 13, I wanted to be a bodybuilder. I wanted to be a fitness expert, whatever. I wanted to be a personal trainer and stuff like that. But, you know, everybody thinks we have this straight arrow. You know, this straight arrow. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to get this age. We're going to do this. But things happen. You know, things happen, and that arrow becomes all kind of different directions. So I met the guy at the restaurant, you know, and he gave me a book, and then I picked up and read it. And then that life just took me to say, hey, you know, what you gonna pick? You know, what you wanna do?
So, okay, because for me, because the one sign that I read that I actually quite literally had that, first off, I have that sign literally on my vision board at home mm-hmm. as to what an entrepreneur is, and it's up and down, it's not a straight arrow. So it's funny that you say that. But when life is doing that to you and life is kind of taking you in its own path that it wants you to go on, I know for me, I call it intuition and kind of allowing it to guide me to the next step, to the next opportunity. Do you have a particular name for that?
No.
No. I love that answer. Like you're going with the flow.
Yeah.
Like you're going with, I got you. Because
you have to trial and error, you know, and I had a lot of failures. I started buying real estate when I was 19 years old. So I bought my first house when I was 19. And at the time I was married. I got married at an early age, straight out of high school. And she always talked about real estate, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is what's up. You know, I was like, hey, let's make this happen. So I was always more of a doer. So I said, okay, what can we do to make this happen? So I was like, okay, go get a mortgage, you know, go get pre-approved for a home loan or whatever, talk to a mortgage person, and then start looking for a house. Long story short, bought my first house, a house that I lived in, and then I bought a second house at within 6 months. Long story short,
just as a secondary property.
Wow. I was planning on renovating the house, and
at 19.
Yeah, 19 and 19 going on 20. My goal was to buy it and rent it out. I know at that time I had no really experience or whatever, but the first guy that I bought the house from, he was actually a student of Robert Kiyosaki, okay. which is Rich Dad Poor Dad. Okay. He's a student of Robert Kiyosaki. And he told me, hey, in order to be successful in real estate, you need the three E's. You need experience, education, and excessive cash. You'd be fine with just two. But to be a really successful real estate person or entrepreneur, you need the three E's. So I was like, man, I need experience, you know? I need experience and education, and then comes with the excessive cash. My first trial at real estate, I filed bankrupt, foreclosed, and divorced within...
You got to be joking.
Yeah, within the age of, I think, 24.
I had no idea.
So,
okay, that had to be tough.
It was tough, but I knew that it won't be forever. You know, my mindset was, well, you know, I didn't do it right this time. So, you know, thinking about what the three E's were, I needed to gain more experience and more education. So, after filing bankruptcy, I continued working at a restaurant, and the restaurant, I was like, man, you know, at least I still got the restaurant, you know, waiting tables. And I switched, I ended up working downtown at Bluefin, and, met a guy who was a mortgage guy. And I said, hey man, are you hiring? And then he was like, yeah, actually, you know, so, I was processing a lot of home loans.
So you got a chance to see it
yeah.
in that aspect too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
That's some damn good education. I just want to say that, by the way.
So, around like I think 2016, around the time I was doing processing home loans, but before I could even learn anything, the market started to act weird, or you know, so it was a lot of the market change. Around the time it was a subprime market, and then the market dipped around 2007, 2008. So I went to real estate school around that time too.
Okay.
2006, was actually my first time, going to real estate school. And I was like, hey, I just need I went to Southwest. I can't remember who was the instructor, but I spread it out to about 6 months. So I went every weekend.
Okay.
I went every weekend on my spare time. But I was in the mortgage side. I was like, hey, I'm doing pretty good. Working a restaurant, no worries. I don't want to be a realtor. You know, I wanted to go to real estate school just to learn. You know,
okay.
So question. I didn't really get my real estate license. I didn't apply for my real estate license at the time. And then the market dipped. The market dipped. I was like, ain't no point in getting real estate. That was my mindset.
Okay.
And then after that, I got in the insurance business.
But you know now that that's the perfect time to buy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Now I do. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Okay. Actually, one of my mentors got pretty rich.
Off of that?
Off, you
from
know.
Yeah. I bet.
And at the time, he was only like 20 years old, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Now he just turned 30 this year.
Anyway.
So, you know, without knowing, like, you know, who's going to tell you?
This is true.
You know, so if you don't know, you know, what kind of moves are you going to make, you know? So at the time, I didn't know. I was like, man, I still have the restaurant, whatever, you know, I'm making money. So I never got my real estate license, but I ended up venturing off to the insurance side. I was just looking for something to do.
What did that look like then?
Selling life insurance to me, I did it for 5 years. It was an experience.
I don't know how you did it for five.
But it was very tough. But what really hit me was when I sold an insurance policy to my babysitter. She was about 65 years old. Within 6 months after having the policy, she got in a car accident, a head-on collision, and she died. She passed away instantly. And I was like, man, this is kind of depressing, you know, dealing with the family and this and that, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, a lot of friends and family members was hitting me up for a life insurance policy. Mm. And I was like, man, I don't know how to feel, you know. This is messing with my emotions, you know. Or, you know, it's like up and down. It's like, man, this is, I don't want to do this. Yeah. So I evaluated. I was like, hey, I don't see myself doing this within the next 5 to 10 years. You know, so I took a break. I took a break after that and just partied. I just partied.
First off, I did not expect that.
I took a break from like my goals.
Yeah.
Or like anything. I just took a break. I say, look, you know, I'm not in a relationship, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Let's just have fun. And I did. And I was like, let's have fun for 1 year. Let's just get away from wearing a shirt and tie. Let's take the break. That 1 year being 3 years. That 1 year ended up being 3 years.
What were you doing for money for 3 years
then? Oh, I was waiting tables. You know, I was waiting tables. Yeah.
Okay.
I was waiting tables downtown.
So it's not like you just riding around yachts. No.
I was just hanging out. You know, man. We made pretty good money waiting tables. Downtown, went out every night, you know. Went out like 5 or 6 days.
Would you do that again? In regards to if you had to go back and redo it again, would you go back and take that break?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, everybody needs a break, you know. Everybody needs a break.
My next question, do you suggest that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everybody has that time where they take a break and kind of take a break from certain responsibilities, you know. Cause I was after bodybuilding, you know, or lifting weights, or fitness, you know, always been driven, you know. That taught me how to go for it, you know. You can teach yourself anything, you know.
Yeah.
So then I got into I'm not gonna go into a whole lot of detail, but I started venturing off with the wrong crowd. We were doing a lot of stuff that can pretty much put us in jail. Long story short, I was the next person to go to jail. I knew that about to go to jail, yeah. You know? So I was like, man, I gotta do something different, you know? So you gotta do something different. So I buckled down and, I was like, hey, I gotta get this real estate license.
Totally off topic. Did you still talk to those people? Or did you just completely cut them off?
I still talk to them.
I'm not saying hang out not saying that. I'm just saying, I'm just curious if you actually still communicate with them.
Yeah, we communicate. We hang out a little bit. But they can definitely tell that I change. Mindset changed. A lot of things have changed. And then I was like, man, got to do something different. And then, that whole process of hanging out with the wrong crowd, it's like, man, if I can take what I've learned from these guys, and if I can grow that fast with just these guys,
yeah,
imagine what I can do with real estate, you know, with the hustle. So, if I can mimic the same formula into real estate, it's the same formula, just a different product.
Okay. It's crazy enough, I actually understand that.
You know,
like, I actually understand that.
It's the same hustle, but a different product. And that was like, okay, that kind of reunited the fire with me in real estate. So I was like, fuck this. I got to get my real estate license. You know, I got to be in that circle. I got to be in a circle of realtors, people who talk about real estate and stuff like that. I got to learn how to speak the language. Mm-hmm. So the formula, that hustle was there, you know, and I was like, okay. And then I buckled down and got my real estate license within 2 months. Knocked the course out within 1 month. And
I'm like, it didn't take long.
But the thing is focus. And I really sat down and collect the hours. I didn't really learn a whole lot in the class.
Really?
It was some stuff. You know, I mean, you can't teach a whole lot of stuff about real estate within, you know, a certain amount of hours, you know?
You have to understand not knowing everything.
Yeah.
But I got
so you. The teacher did scheme, and this instructor did scheme through a lot of stuff that was important, yes. But the stuff that in order to really pass the test, you have to, you know, spend your own time on really learning it. So with the same form of hustling with the wrong crowd, I took that same mindset and put it in passing this damn real estate exam. So I came up with a formula, and I was like, man, I'm going to study 9 o'clock in the morning, 30 minutes, because it's been forever since I've been in school.
And you were still waiting tables?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. So I was put a regiment together. I said, hey, I'm going to study for 30 minutes, 9 a.m., 30 minutes, 12 p.m., and then 30 minutes again at 5 p.m.
So do you have any regimens now to get you to a new level that you're currently working on?
Oh, yeah.
Such
I can't tell you that right now.
Oh, my gosh. Really, dude? Mm-hmm. Come on.
Okay. Yeah, I can't tell you that right now.
Okay. Not even a bit of it.
Hey, look, it's the same formula.
Okay.
Same formula. So
what is the next level for you?
The next level will be maybe development. I don't know.
To develop others?
Develop real estate, or, you know, get into development, or
properties.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll get into a little more about that in a little bit.
Okay.
But my goal was back to real estate school or real estate exam. I just did that for a whole month on, you know, giving myself a study regimen, and I passed the test within no problem.
That's how we feel, man, the first time.
Yeah.
Straight
so what I've learned from that situation, man, if you know, because I took it, so I took the real estate class actually three times.
Okay.
One in 2006, and one in 2013, and I really buckled down like 2014.
Okay.
So I was like, man, I gotta get this done. You know, I gotta, you know, this is where I want to be.
And it's time. I got you.
With all, you know, going back to everything I went through, man, I was like, you know, I should have got my real estate license in 2006. You know, I should have got my real estate license in 2013. I should have been creating my real estate portfolio when I was, you know, age of 19. On, you know, but the man upstairs was like, hey, you're not ready.
I was so wondering. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The man upstairs was like, hey, man, you're not ready. You know, you're not built for it yet. So, you know, a lot of people wants to rush into certain things and this and that, but maybe it's not your time, you know. When I was 19 years old, you know, reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, my biggest dream was to be that business person, you know, that business person who phone ringing off the hook, you know, having lunch with people, you know, networking with people, wearing a shirt and tie, wearing a suit, driving a nice car or whatever, you know, that was my dream. And when I got into real estate, became a realtor, and then when I went and it really took me about almost 2 years to be full-time a real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
But when I became full-time, I was like, damn, I'm here. You know, I took a look back and I was like, I'm actually living the dream that I was dreaming about when I was 19 years old.
Okay, let me ask you this, man. Did you just wake up one day and realize that you were living that dream?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay. And the why I'm asking you this is because it's something that I do inspirational videos every day. And I do I have my vision board in the office,
mm-hmm.
but I also have different notes on the mirror and, you know,
mm-hmm.
waking up in the morning so that I can kind of stay along my path, along my journey. What happens or typically happens to me, I can have these notations on the board as to what I've created or what I've done or who I am or pretty much where I'm striving to mm-hmm. be. And quite literally, I wake up one day and I'm just like, okay, wait a minute, like shit. Like I've actually already accomplished it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've actually, like, let me take this off. Uh-huh. Let me move to the next thing. Like, damn, I've already. So did you have anything in your mind, like a picture anywhere around you that was saying this is where you wanted to be? Or did it just kind of fade away and then you woke up and like, I'm here?
One day I was on vacation and then I was just like sitting back and I was like, damn. I'm actually the person that I dreamed about becoming, you know? Yeah.
Damn.
I was, so it's sometimes you have to just, you know, real estate or anything you do in life or anything that you're doing, you're so busy. You're so busy. That's all we do. Like freaking bumblebees. and you forget to maybe stop and smell the roses sometime. And when I went on vacation, you know, I was just chilling, you know, like, oh, damn, I'm here, you know, I'm here. When you talk about vision board, I don't really have a vision board. I do listen to a lot of Eric Thomas.
Oh, I know Eric.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They call him the
E.T.
Yeah. Yeah. A whole lot of Gary, Gary V, Grant Cardone. Those are my main three. The Rock is one of them. I listen to Kevin Hart.
He has a podcast or something?
No, he does. He has something on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I just go on YouTube, look for like motivational speech and stuff like that. So I just pick one every morning, you know, every morning, around noon. And then just like my regiment when I was studying for the real estate exam. In the morning, I listen to something motivational, and then around noon, and then around 6 o'clock. You know, or even before I go to bed too.
You're gonna make me increase mine. Okay, so Jimmy, once you get home, increase yeah. what you listen to motivational wise.
Because during the day, man, anything can hit you. You know, anything can hit you that throws you off.
Knock you off track quickly.
Mm-hmm. Because man, my mom losing the dog. Oh boy.
But you're right.
Yeah,
absolutely right. I mean, well, even like I'm into energy. And how we all kind of feed off of each other's energy. I'm like, and if you're showing a home to someone that just has complete, may have the money, but have complete negative energy, I'm like, that shit could easily rub off on you.
Yeah.
And so you have to get yourself back on course. So yeah, I got you. I'm going to have to increase myself.
Yeah.
Have you heard of a guy called Sean Croxton?
No.
You need to look him up.
Oh, send it to me.
Yeah, I'll send that to you. But he does quote of the day every single day on Monday Friday. And he has different speakers on, and it kind of will open your mind up to other speakers that exist out there that have equally good information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So last year wasn't really a great year for me. From the outside, a lot of people looking in, oh man, you had a banging year, you know. But my mom just had a stroke last year around this time, and I'm also taking care of 3 kids that I kind of inherit. So adjusting to all that was very difficult, but it kind of put me I learned a whole lot about myself, you know, and I'm still battling with it every day, you know. One thing I like to talk about, like, you know, when you're taking your parents, or you know, when I take my mom to the doctor, so we go to doctor visits like almost every other week, or like acupuncture and stuff like that, to kind of help her get better, you know. So when I took my mom to get her eyes checked, she had like eye surgery or something like that. So you take her in this waiting room, and you see all these people. They're in there for the same reason. They're in there for the same reason, to go see the doctor, do a follow up, or get a procedure done, or this, this, and that. And then I sat there, I'm like, damn, I'm healthy. I got my limb, I got my arms, got my limbs, got all my fingers, got my eyes, got all my senses. You know, I can walk. I got youth on my side. And what really kicked in was like, man, you got to do more. You know, you got to definitely do more. Or you're going to end up waiting and end up like the people in the waiting room. You know, everybody's there for a reason. You know, when people go to the doctor or a hospital, they're there for a reason, you know. And you don't really realize you need to do more until you're in that situation. But for me, luckily, the man upstairs wanted me to see that, you know. So, you know, I've been kind of depressed and down about my mom being ill, my parents being ill, and taking care of 3 kids and running a business and this and that. So, yeah, so my, you know, it's up and down. My mood is pretty much up and down, you know. So a lot of people looking in, it's, oh man, you did it, whatever. I'm like, man, shut the hell up sometime, you know, you don't even know half of the pill that I have to swallow. So, and this year I was like, man, you know, I have to do more. I got to do more.
But what do you want to do more in? Like in what aspect, what regard?
The one thing that I have posted up on my office, or the one thing, when you say vision board, I have this little thing written out. I think, and also I mentioned this in my real estate coaching class. I stood up and said, hey, you know, I want to become a millionaire before my mom and dad pass away. So that's my big why.
That's one hell of a why. That is one hell of a why.
Yeah.
Damn.
So I want to become a millionaire before my mom and dad pass away. Because right now, man, they're ill. You know, I want to be able to take care of them. It's not about the money.
I'm not sure, you know, but the freedom and the flexibility to be able.
And if they were to pass away, they have a peace of mind that their son is a millionaire, or he's able to take care of certain things and this and that, you know. So, and that's a tough one. I remember standing up last year. I go to like a real estate, like a realtor coaching. It's called Bold or something like that. And they asked, hey, what's your why? And I stood up and was like, man, I want to be a millionaire before my mom and dad pass away.
Like, that's one hell of a why. I've got to share this. I recently got like a heart scare. Okay. And AFib, I don't know if you know what that means or what that is. It's when your heart flutters and it stays offbeat and it's never on a regular regimen. And so I ended up having to have surgery on it about 4 weeks ago now. But I remember sitting in the waiting room of my doctor, and he was coming in to talk to me. I was quite literally, Howard, the youngest person there. And so, you know, you go up, everyone is talking, you know, their name and their date of birth, like every single person, 1924, mm-hmm. 1919. And I was just like you're on a cane, you know, like you're having to, you can't drive anymore.
Yeah.
You have someone here walking, you know, walking you in. And I'm just like, I'm not even 40, shit, I'm not even 35. Uh-huh. And I was like, and I'm experiencing this. And I was like, it scared the shit out of me so bad. But I was just like, Lord, like, I know this is not where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, I made a commitment, which is so crazy. I made a commitment at the beginning of this year, which was completely unrelated to the heart at the time. But I was like, I wanted to be more present. I wanted to be more alive in the here and now.
Yeah, and purpose, so, yeah.
And which is where the talk show kind of just started to take its own thing.
Uh-huh.
I do practice meditation every single morning, and it was kind of in that time frame that it was like, okay, hey, this is something that you need to really look into. This is what makes you come alive. So if you're going to put any energy toward any type of business, this is where it needs to be. But it's just really interesting. You were talking about that being in the waiting room, but I quite literally just had that exact moment.
Yeah.
Quite literally. Scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Like, scared the shit. Like, just, everybody in their heads have been wearing Depends. Like, if they were not wearing Depends, they should have been wearing them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was just, it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Scared the hell out of me. Like, it's just,
yeah.
It's just,
yeah. And another thing is, like, you can't let have certain things handicap you, you know? Yeah, you can't let your past or your situation handicap. You just got to keep moving forward and keep on swinging. You know, if you don't swing, if you just sit still, man, nothing is going to happen, you know. You got to go out there and keep swinging.
Okay, now this is something that I'm going to ask you, and I think I know where you're going to probably go with, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Like I said, me dealing with my meditation and figuring out when is there enough time, or when have I done enough versus what is meant for me to actually do. And by that I mean, you know, you're supposed to follow what the Lord is telling you. You're supposed to follow your heart. You're supposed to follow your intuition. But at what point can you put that to the side and knowing you have to hustle? Knowing what's right for you and knowing where to go versus when to stop hustling. Does that make sense? Am I asking the question appropriately? Like,
yeah.
Where does it make sense? Like, how do you get to that point? Because there is a fine line there versus, like, because you can hustle all day long mm-hmm. at being a bodybuilder, but if that's not what you know you're supposed to be, you're not going to be successful in mm-hmm. that aspect. So I'm like, you can hustle at it. So when is the stopping point when you stop hustling? Not necessarily for you, but in general.
I think it'll never end. Like, you're always going to want more and more and more. You know, I did say that I am the person that I am, you know, that I wanted to be when I was 19. You know, I am the person that I dreamed about being. Mm-hmm. Now, since I'm here, now I want more, you know. I do want more and more. So when I got my real estate license, you pretty much level up. You know, you level up. Once you level up, you open up different opportunities, you know. So many different opportunities. When I got my real estate license, I just hustled, and then people started to notice my hustle, you know. And then when I joined a team, the Lynn team, they asked me, say, hey, man, do you want to be partner, open up a brokerage firm? So that was an opportunity, you know? So I said, hell yeah. Yeah. So I was like, you know, that was actually one of my 5-year goals, you know, my 5-year plan to, you know, open up your brokerage firm.
So you do have a 5-year plan.
Well, you know, it changes often, you know, okay. you always got to adapt. Open up a brokerage firm or a real estate brokerage firm or whatever. I can live without it, you know, okay. I can live without it, but if it's going to happen or opportunity is going to be there, yeah, I'm going to go for it. Yeah. You do have these goals. You don't know how to get there, you know? So I was like, yeah, I want to own my own brokerage firm one day, you know, or, you know, own 100 rental properties, whatever. So how are you going to get there? You don't know how to get there. You just kind of map out a short-term plan, and then you just kind of go from there. So with the brokerage firm or having these rental properties or whatever, it'll open more opportunities. So once you, you know, get to where you want, you're going to want more. So it's going to be more opportunities opening for you, you know. So what was the end game? I don't know. I don't know.
Honestly, there's not one.
Because if you can get more and more hungry, you know, it's like, okay, if I did great on this side, damn, I could be more great on doing this. So what else is next? You know, you level up. So it's a never ending, hustle, you know.
I can actually respect you for saying that. I mean, not many people would ever admit that.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of different mentors classify that as, what did that man say? I can't remember. Must not be meant for me to say it, but just in regards to the hunger. But I know we're running a little bit low on time, and I got to ask you the final question. I ask all of my guests.
Okay.
But success and happiness, like, how do you define it, and what does it look like for you?
Man, success and happiness. Oh my God. I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know. Me, I just go with the flow. Success is, you know, whatever you make out of it, you know. Yes, I want to be this, this, and this. But at the end of the day, you want to shoot high. You want to shoot high for the stars. Mm-hmm. And then if you fall short, you look back and say, hey, damn, I accomplished this and this and this. That's your success, you know. You can shoot for the stars and try to have an end game. But once you look back and look at all the stuff you've done, all the stuff you accomplish, you know, everybody's different. So everybody's success is different. You know, I can't really answer what is my success. My success is, man, waking up every morning, man, you know, and doing what I love to do, you know. I do love what I do. It is challenging. So success is really making your dreams come true.
Okay.
So a lot of my dreams came true. It came through a lot of stuff behind it, you know. When you look at my story, or a lot of people don't know my story, but when I look back, man, I went through a lot of stuff, you know, in a little short period of time. And a lot of people say, man, you're too young. I say, yeah, I'm young, but it's life hasn't been easy, you know. It's not going to get any easier, you know. The more and more you level up, the more challenge you're going to have. So you got to overcome that, and that'll be your success story, you know.
What about happiness, though? Like, what makes you happy? What does that look like for you?
Happiness. Oh, man.
Okay, well, let's start with this. What made you smile today?
What made me smile today? today is going to be the end. Today, you know, it's my first time interviewing or having this kind of interview. To me, it was like, man, this is different. You know, this is different. So I was very looking forward to it. That's what made me smile today. I was like,
I said other than me. I would not accept that answer. Come on.
My parents, seeing them happy. Man, her having her dog this week, that was success for me.
Okay.
That made me happy. That was I was very determined on finding that damn dog. So I was very, very determined. Actually, my dad's calling right now, but I'm going to call him back.
See,
hope he didn't lose the damn dog again.
Really? Don't say that. It's funny. Like, my dad, like, I swear to you, that happened Monday. He called, I declined his call.
Uh-huh.
He literally called right back.
Yeah.
But his situation was a little different. It wasn't about a dog. He had actually, his lung had collapsed. And he was being some emergency surgery going on, but I felt so bad for ignoring their call. I felt so bad.
Yeah.
So we definitely wrap this up just in case. Anything, any issues, I want you to get back to your dad.
Yeah.
Your family. But any final words that you would, you know, give out there to anyone that's an aspiring realtor or broker? Or in general?
In general, there's a lot of people going to be aiming at you and saying that you can't do it. Man, you know, one of the things that my mom said to me recently, you know, we were sitting at Starbucks. She was like, man, I didn't really think you would be amount to anything, you know, because you were a slow learner, you know, or this, this, and that. But I'm very happy to see that you're, you know, shooting for something and striving for something. And, you know, you have goals. We, you know, they were like, my mom and dad was like, yeah, we were kind of nervous about you. And I was like, what the fuck?
I was going to actually have to make a video.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell, you know? But, you know, I guess it was for me to hear that was, I don't know. But, you know, it doesn't matter what people say about you, what people think about you. Just keep on, you know, your dream is what you own. You know, your time is what you own. Yeah. You own your time. You own your dream. Don't let nobody take that away from you. You know, it may take some time. You may want to get there, you know, tomorrow, or you may want to get there yesterday, you know, or 5 years ago. But keep on, you know, dreaming and shooting it. You got to map it out and execute. And along the journey, there are going to be different roads that you'll take too, different opportunities, different windows. If you continue to stay the same, ain't shit going to happen, you know. If you lay in the bed all day or sit at home, you know, ain't shit going to happen.
What's happening now?
So you got to continue to go out there, meet people, and you never know who you might meet.
And I will say, I'm a victim of, not a victim, I hate the word, I don't know why I used it, but like I'm one that does that, and I know I need to get out there and get and do more.
Yeah.
And meet, and it's so crazy because I'm a very sociable person.
Uh-huh.
I just don't go out, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why.
But you may meet someone who may help you, who may know someone who can help you.
Correct.
To help you make your dream come true, or even know someone who knows someone who knows someone.
Exactly.
Who can introduce you to someone who you always wanted to meet.
But if you never get up to actually take that chance,
uh-huh.
Then,
yeah,
you know, so yeah, I agree. I got you.
So one of the biggest problems a lot of realtors have, a lot of the realtors, real estate agents that I mentor or kind of coach, they don't get up, you know, it's hard to them for them to get out of their old habits, you
okay.
know?
Okay.
I say, hey man, you got to go out there and meet people. You know, if you don't know anyone or you don't get up and meet people, if you ain't got nothing to do, just go outside and start talking to your neighbors, you know, or start, you know, or, you know, P. Diddy is one of the people that I listen to, you know? He said, man, just go up and start talking to people and mingling with people. You know, you never know.
But see, okay, I'm not going to lie to you now. If it's really difficult for you to do that, or you don't have the drive to go out and actually, you know, communicate with people like that, especially in real estate,
mm-hmm.
then the real estate may not be for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, uh-huh. like at least in my mind, it may not be. And I say that because, like, you kept pushing,
mm-hmm.
you know? But if I stalled out, and I've quickly realized real estate was not for mm-hmm. me, like quickly, because it didn't take much for it to discourage me, which is the craziest thing. But because I'm typically, if I want it and shit, I'm done.
Yeah.
But real estate, it stalled out for me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, forget it.
Uh-huh.
Like I didn't give a damn about it anymore.
Yeah.
And then in regards to buying and selling for other people,
uh-huh.
I didn't care about it. But for myself, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know? But,
you know, I kind of held out being a realtor too, but I knew that there was a knowledge, you know, back to the three E's, experience and education behind it, and then excessive cash, you know, and you're the three E's, and then, you know, you might meet people who might help you increase those experience, education, and excessive cash. You never know who you might meet, and then, you know, you might look at that person and be like, damn, I want to be like that person. How can I get like that person? You know, one of my mentors, man, he's only 30 years old, you know, he can't retire right now. Yeah, I have like three mentors. Anybody could be your mentor,
this
you know?
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
They probably don't even claim that they're my mentor, you know, but I call them my mentor, you know. You know, another thing I like to say, man, you know, when I was younger, I always pictured my mentor being this older guy with gray hair or blah, 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 you know. So my mentor actually being around. I don't know. I guess it was just something that we saw. Yeah, we saw in the movie. But my three mentors were people who were actually in the business too. And I just kind of followed them around and asked them a whole bunch of questions and did a lot of deals with them. And still to this day, I still negotiate against them.
Really?
Doing deals. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Actually.
Yeah. And I get so excited when I start to negotiate. And, you know, my goal is to win. So my goal is to win. And they taught me how to win.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they taught me how to win.
I remember I met my my real estate mentor, and he actually owns, I think it's a 210 apartment building complex. Uh-huh. Blew my mind away. But he was like, dude, just come on. Like, we went through, like, his whole process of what he does. We went in and out of the different units and the different buildings. And he absolutely was not this old gray-haired man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, he was young as hell. And he was just crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
Lived extremely modest. Like, you would not know. You would have no idea he had the kind of money. But, you know, I mean, he's just, he loves life and he loves real estate.
Uh-huh.
And so, but, yeah.
And a lot of people say, hey, you know, can you teach me this? Can you teach me that? Can you teach me real estate? Or can you teach me this and this and that? No, I can't teach you. Real estate will teach you. Those experience will teach you.
I like that
you.
Answer. Yeah. That's going to be a tweetable moment. Like, I swear, yeah. I'm tweeting that right after this.
Yeah. If you sit at home and don't do nothing and sit in front of your computer all day, you know, how are you going to learn real estate? So you have to be out there with real estate people, and doing real estate, and then you'll learn it as you go. When I went full-time, man, you know, it was so many deals going, you know, had so much activity and I learned real quick. And another thing is, you know, some of these realtors out there, they've been in the business like 20 or 30 years, but if you're a new realtor and you grind like 14, 15 hours a day, 7 days a week for a whole year, for a whole 2 or 3 years, man, you'll run circles around those realtors being in the business for 30 years.
Do you think it's because they're stuck in the old mindset?
No, it's not really. It's about the ingredients. We have 24 hours within a day. Mm-hmm. What do you do with those 24 hours?
I got you.
You know.
I got you.
So those people who are in the business in real estate for 20 or 30 years, they already have a certain ingredients that they're doing. You know. So you as a new person or new real estate person or new anything in anything that you do, you gotta put the time into it, you know. You can't read one book and you become an expert. No. You got to grind out 10, 15, 20 hours sometime, you know. I work real estate 2 days straight, you know, and I just crash the third day. Or I just sleep in or something like that, you know. So, you know, it's stuff like that. You have it within 24 hours, you know, 24 hours within a day. Everybody wakes up the same, you know, everybody breathes the same air. So what you wake up, what you do, what you eat, it has a result.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you on that.
Yeah.
100%, which is probably why I'm not a realtor. Because I don't have the passion for it. And I know I don't have that drive for real estate.
Yeah.
But doing a video or a interview or conversation, like I've been up 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night,
uh-huh.
or 2, 3 o'clock in the morning because they're over in the UK,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, or something. So I'm like that. I'm like, okay, that I can do all day.
For me, I don't mind like working, you know, 10 hours, 12 hours a day doing real estate because the knowledge that I'm gaining from it, because, you know, because I buy real estate too. Yeah. So it definitely.
Rich people,
so
wealthy people over here.
So it's kind of like playing Monopoly. It's like playing Monopoly. Me as a realtor, I look at it as playing Monopoly. I'm helping people play Monopoly. I'm helping people buy real estate, do deals, buy and sell real estate. So you're getting so much practice. So you, basically, I feel like I'm practicing Monopoly in real life. You practice and practice and practice. When it's your turn to buy, or when it's your turn to play Monopoly, you are less fearful. You have less fear. You know, you're not scared.
I've never heard it articulated like that.
Yeah, you practice and practice and practice. Like, you know, Michael Jordan, LeBron, they practice and practice and practice and practice. They practice those shots, those game-winning shots. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to real estate, to me, I don't mind grinding it out, you know, 7-6 days a week. I'm actually supposed to be in Vegas for my my friend's bachelor party this weekend.
Are you going
to
take a last minute trip?
No. Right now, it's peak season. You know, I told him, hey, man, it's peak season. There's a lot of stuff I got to do. You might not get this opportunity again. I might not get this opportunity because, you know, you never know. The market might change, you know. So I was like, hey, you know, I really need to stack up my chips and reposition myself. Because when you stack up your chips and reposition yourself, you never know what new opportunities you might be open to. Gotcha. You don't want to ever have an opportunity come your way and be like, oh, I can't do that because I don't have the money. Oh, I can't do that because I don't have the experience. Fuck that. That's your fault, you know?
That is yours. That is.
So, yeah. So, man, grind it out, you know? So, practice, practice, practice. And you know, I'm not a millionaire yet, but I've seen, man, you got to change your mentality and change your vocabulary. So, yeah. Practice, practice, practice.
And motivation.
Oh, yeah.
Day, which, again, I know I'm definitely going to take his tips on that. And increase the lines. Like, I don't think you ever have enough. So, all righty.
Yeah, yeah.
Howard,
yeah.
I definitely thank you, A, you for having the time and definitely giving us your time. I really do appreciate that. I really can't thank you enough for that. So, I know in my mind, I don't know necessarily how he classifies it, but in my mind, he's definitely one of the successful realtors that I've ever met. And I mean that honestly. Dude is a hustler like I've never seen before. And I've met some crazy ass people, but he's hustling. And I love to see that. I personally love to see that. So, again, thank you for your time. And I'll see you guys next week. See you later.
Bye.
OMG. Okay, you totally just received some excellent knowledge, and I know that you loved it. If you did truthfully love it, I need your help. By all means, share this podcast with everyone that you know. Don't hold all of this knowledge to yourself. We need your ratings, we need your reviews, we need your comments, and we need your shares. But only share it, only comment, if you received some damn good knowledge today. I know that you did, so I'll wait on your reviews to start coming in. Okay, until the next one. See ya.